equivalent of the guy with all, you know, all the ideas and the director, the artistic director. I mean, it's like a captain of a ship.
Uh-huh.
You know, what he says goes, you know, and that was kind of it, even though we were all in it together. But he wasn't part of it, so we were kind of all, we really realized we really were on our own, and Alex decided that he would produce it, and we were looking around for a place, and the decision was made to put it in this, I believe it was a Presbyterian church, I think, in Buckhead here, behind where the Wendy's is,
yeah,
around the corner from the White House.
Does this still exist?
I think it's still there.
The Wendy's is there, but...
But I don't think the church is still there.
Well, the church was...
It's not a church anymore, but last I was through there...
No, it burned down. That church burned.
It did.
Now, unless they...
Sure, Leicestershire was burning up in this town. No. Sherman started that and never ended.
Yeah.
Well, that was a real freaky thing because all of us, again, it was on 14th Street. 70 was the address, 70 14th Street. A big, big, big white house. Had a number of bedrooms in it. Big
another
kitchen.
Big,
it was a boarding house at one mm-hmm. time. And that house was vacant. And the guy that was renting to us on 15th Street had this place as one of his properties. He was kind of a strange guy, but he agreed to rent this to us, the Combine. So we all gathered the wagons from Texas and Oklahoma and Pennsylvania, and then here we were. We all came together and started working on and lived in this house, and then people would take different jobs. Some people would work as wait staff and cooks and things in the daytime, and different people did all kinds of things, but the real deal was we wanted to resurrect this show. And didn't he really know why, you know, just had to do it. It was more like it's something you had to do. You couldn't not do this. Especially when you had somebody like Alex Cooley willing to produce it. And Alex can give you a lot more information about this, folks. But we set up shop there in the church and got it going. And there was nudity in the show. When Stonk was in Atlanta the very first time, I don't know to what extent there was actual live nudity. That's what made it kind of...
Held a transparent scrim sheet in front of it, like a blue gauzy thing.
And it was used silhouetted.
Yeah.
Silhouetted with background.
You could see through it, but it was... Yeah. That kept the city at bay, was the fact that there was a piece of cloth there.
A scrim, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's funny.
But by the time we were... You know, back here, things had progressed, and we were just in the face with it. What I mean by that is that everything was legal, and tickets were sold, and the place had been leased, and Alex Cooley had his name on everything. And the mayor of Atlanta at the time was mayor myself. Now, I'm not going to point my fingers and accuse him of anything, but I am going to say that church burned down on his watch,
right,
during his administration.
Yes.
I will say that, and I don't mind saying that.
Right. Well, he's still doing things out here, even though he's not mayor.
Well, that church one night, after we had reopened and gone through probably a week or two of not
much. I remember that now.
The city didn't like that nudity, and they were and they couldn't shut us down.
They didn't like it.
They couldn't shut us down because everything was legal.
They didn't like it because it was in Buckhead.
We had our own property. We had the lease. Alex Cooley was producing. It was, you know, selling tickets, everything. There was not anything that they could do. And we were just belligerent enough to put it right back in their face. You know, they would come out in the paper about something and we would put it in the show. I mean, it was really radical. It was nothing like the way it was just, you know, a year earlier.
Uh-huh.
Not at all the same show, but same people and same mindset and everything. And we got the word one morning. The last ticket was January the 11th, 1971, and I had one of those ticket stubs that was never used because there was a whole, it was a ticket that was never used because it was a I said January, July 11th, I'm sorry, July the 11th, 1971. Woke up that morning, and Beth Herring came into my room, said, sat down next to the bed and said, wake up. Everything's gone. I said, what do you mean everything's gone? She said, well, there was a fire at the church last night. And I jumped up and I said, well, what about everything in the balcony? That's where all the light equipment was. I said, what, the balcony too? She says, the church burned up. And so a lot of really good material had been lost. But that was, you know, we couldn't believe it. We couldn't believe it when that happened. I mean, that fire was set. Fire was set that night.
And my memory at that time was the Klan, that was one of their first big churchy things. They were outraged, nudity on a stage in Atlanta. I remember lots of them ranting and raving about it.
Well, I couldn't tell you. You know, like I say, I can't point my finger at any one person. But I do know whose watch it was when that happened. And that's as far as, you know, I put it right there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people thought that Marcel and his administration was one of the reasons why Atlanta became kind of dark and paranoid and not a fun place during that time.
I still, coming back to Atlanta after all these years away, find it to be exactly the same. I still find the city government here squeezing things after living in other places. It's a different sort of town. There's always manipulation goes on here.
Yeah.
It doesn't go on in other
places.
This is
good old Warren Edwards. Just changed complexions now.
Yes.
But it's still very active.
It's very active.
If anything, more corrupt, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, I was talking to a couple of people that were